How is everybody doing? Welcome to episode number 25 of Free Markets Green Earth. We've got an odd one here for you today because I went on vacation last week. You probably didn't even know because we still had an episode, believe it or not. We were prepared for that, weren't we, Ben?
We were. Yes. Yes, sir, we were.
We recorded an extra one the week before. So, good
fancy.
For us. I went down to Disney, took the family. It was a big deal. It's been like a trip 2 years in the making, and we did four of the Disney parks. The first one.
There's multiple parks.
At Disney. I mean, like I told you, it's its own county.
Good Lord, man. Like, so I just. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so here, like, just...
Disney is one big conglomerate mess, as I know. One place I will not set foot.
To give
I didn't know
you,
there was multiple parts of it.
To give you an idea, when you go to Disneyland, or Disney World, whatever it is, you pull into, like, it's a four-lane highway both ways. And then it has its own road signs. Like, basically, it has its own highway, is what I'm telling you. Because you know, depending on where you go within the parks or which park you're going to, and you got to remember that there's an ESPN park. You've got like it's got its own little city in there for like nightlife kind of stuff. I think there's like my dad said there's like 25 different resorts.
Like, I never thought of nightlife at Disney, but all right.
Well, no, that's the thing. Like, it literally has its own town called Disney Springs, and it's just like nightclubs and you know, fancy restaurants. Huh. My little brother got wasted and left his wallet there the one night. So,
oops.
Yeah. but yeah, it was. There's a whole part of me that's like, you know. I would probably care more about it if I didn't fucking hate Florida so much. Like, I'd be upset about the amount of space that they have, but it's Florida, and I hate Florida. So I'm kind of okay with it. but yeah, so you go in the big gates, and like literally you pick which highway, and you're driving for miles before you actually get to a park. That's why it has its own tram system, its own bus system. Like, there's the gondolas. Like the Sky Flyer shit that my parents made me do. It has like boats that take you from like one island to the other because, you know, Florida's a swamp.
Yeah.
It's just a gigantic, absolutely gigantic thing.
Fairies.
Yeah. And according to Irma, there's also fairies. She was pretty into that part.
Of course.
But coincidentally, day one was actually my favorite of the parks we did. Now, I'm from Florida, so I've done parks in the past when I was like a little kid and then again when I was a teenager. And we've gone back a couple times and stuff. But this is the first time that I've done the Animal Kingdom park.
All right.
Which...
Tell me more. I've never been there. I might have been when I was a little kid, but we went to... I remember Busch Gardens. That was the one we went to. And
I've done Busch Gardens when I was a kid a bunch of times. That was actually my parents' favorite when we lived there.
Yeah, I've only heard stories of Animal Kingdom.
I say it's relatively new. It's probably, 10, 15 years old now, but, you know, it wasn't something that was there when I was a kid, for sure. And to grab the park, it is definitely a Disney park and it has all of the Disney things. There's, you know, the movie themes and everything. But there is a lot that I really, really did enjoy and appreciate because there is an actual, different ways you can do the park, I guess. And one of the things that they did there that Irma kind of got into was that they have a couple different treks, and their treks are literally just you go and walk through kind of like open air zoo, and they're kind of like themed in the ways that they're done. But it was really interesting. There's also we did the safari ride, which is also for a kid. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It kind of feels like Jurassic Park a little bit. and then like the way that it's designed, you know, and kind of like the way the vehicles are kind of crappy on purpose, but you know, it was fun. You know, where else your kids get to see rhinos and stuff like that, and kind of in a more, they're not entirely caged in like the way you think of it. And what's actually interesting is from like the drivers, like from where you're in the vehicle, there's a certain degree where you can't tell that they're caged at all. Like Disney goes to great pains to kind of hide the ways in which they're kind of in place. Like you can't see where the land breaks for the, like, you know how they keep ravines that they can't jump over. Yeah.
Right.
All of those are hidden.
Okay.
Like they're there, but they're, unless like they're out of at an angle in which you don't know they're there, that the animals, you know, can respect them. So we go to this park and there's a lot of fun rides. I enjoyed the Avatar rides way more than I actually enjoyed the movie Avatar. And we did the Avatar Land at night, which was freaking awesome. Cause like it's one of the, I've never been to a theme park where they shut all the lights in the park off.
Really?
But like they turn the thing. Did you ever, you remember Avatar, like how everything glowed?
I think I've only seen the cartoon late at night. I don't remember much.
There's an Avatar cartoon? That's weird.
Yeah, I think it started out as a cartoon, man.
Oh, you're thinking like Avatar The Last Airbender. I'm talking like, what is it?
Yeah, that's
Michael Bay or whoever it was. No, it was the other guy.
I had no idea.
James Cameron. It had the big blue people.
No. I didn't see it.
Yeah, regardless, the whole thing takes place in this alien world. Well, they went through great pains to kind of recreate this alien world. And so at night, they shut off all of the lights that you would normally have walking the paths. And, like, everything is kind of bioluminescent in that area. So, like, all the rocks and plants themselves grow or glow. It was it's designed to be a really intense experience. And for a daddy, it was fun. Like I said, it was way more fun doing that than actually watching the movie Avatar. But getting back to, like, you know, I'm kind of geeking out a little bit about that part of it. Let it be known that I think that Disney is a vile, vile company, and I'm probably not going to renew my Disney Plus subscription when Verizon no longer pays for it. So I got to get all the watching in while I can. But we'll see how ethical I'm feeling in a year. but there, it did kind of make me have to think of things, because the whole animals in captivity thing has always been, it's been a point of question for me, because while I understand, I don't particularly like the idea of keeping animals in captivity. I think that if we don't do that, there's a certain degree to which we don't do that, and we don't utilize that to impress upon children the importance of animals, that they don't get to be, you know, activists like you and me. Like, they don't take it seriously. Because it's one thing to, like, it's one thing to sit and watch a nature video. It is a completely different thing to see, you know, a hippopotamus weighs 4 fucking tons 3 feet away from you.
You lose a lot of that perspective from just television or textbooks or wherever it is that you're gleaning your information from, you know? Zoos were always, I think growing up, that was one of those things. We always went on a family vacation to a zoo in the summer. I think it was somewhere out in Binghamton, Shenango Valley State Park.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a little piddly zoo, but, you know, when I was little, it was cool, and that's what we did. And as I got older, I always questioned that, you know, is this, what's going on here? Like, is this really necessary? But I think being able to actually see things and get up close with those things is beneficial. You know, it shows you things, it tells you things, it teaches you things that you might otherwise not be privy to.
So one of the things that this, if you've never been to a Disney park, they're very, very what they are. They're driven to make you do rides. Things take forever. Like the two Avatar rides, is for instance, like the crappy one was a 70-minute wait. The good one was a 270-minute wait.
My God.
When you get past that, there's also this whole other, like, no other Disney park does this that I've ever seen. And this thing, this really blew my mind. Do you remember the movie Up at all?
Oh, maybe.
It's the most sad opening of a movie ever. If you've seen it, you'd remember it. Anyways, the little kid in there, he belonged to this group called the Wilderness Explorers. And so they kind of used that to set up this experience within the park. And so you find, like, you'll everywhere you go, like, you'll see these people wearing these Wilderness Explorer outfits, like camp counselors. And so you'll go up and the kids will talk, they'll talk to them, and they'll give them a little book, and they'll talk to them about some element within, like, you know, it's all, each one's got their own pre-programmed spiel that they do, but some type of actual educational element. Like, they'll talk about pollution in the one, they'll talk about, you know, the animals that they're, like, if they're positioned in front of an animal cage, like, or an animal sanctuary, right. They'll talk about that. And so the kids can actually go through the entire park finding these rangers, or wilderness explorers or whatever they are, and they'll get stickers for each of them that they visit until they fill up their book with all of them. And when you do it this way, like, there's literally a whole educational side to that particular park that, like, you're certainly not getting anywhere else, any other Disney park. You know, there's essentially two walkthrough zoos within the place. I think, like, kind of doing them like a nice leisurely pace. We probably walked each one. One took about an hour. I think the other one took about an hour and a half to walk through, and they're pretty well stocked. Like, and I know in the one, like, we're talking, you're immersed enough that the bird building his nest kept flying 3 inches from my face. it was just such an incredible experience like that. And there was, you know, things that Irma got to see that she would have never, ever got to see before. And I know how important places like that were for me when I was a kid to kind of make me who I am and appreciate, you know, nature in the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I hate Disney, like, I'm kind of into it, into that, into, like, what that particular park was. Like,
what's the name of that stupid zoo thing that they have there?
That one's Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom. Okay. So Animal Kingdom, is that, that's two zoos within one big thing, or is the one big thing something separate?
I mean, Animal Kingdom is just the park. Like, you have Magic Kingdom, you've got Epcot. Animal Kingdom is just, like, you go through one gate and you're in this place for the day, essentially. And within there, they have these things called treks. But each trek is kind of just like its own little zoo.
All right. So.
And like I said, that's before you even get to the safari, which is a whole nother, a whole nother zoo, basically.
Do they have anything, like, wild and exotic there that's, like, you know, beyond just the... the lions and the tigers and the giraffes. Is there anything, like,
I mean, in the silverback, the silverback gorillas? Like, I mean, I guess I don't, like, I wouldn't know how I would even say that. I mean, because at a certain point, lions and tigers are pretty exotic animals.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, for sure.
They had the Komodo dragon. That was cool. You know, you've got the monkeys of all kinds of varieties there. That was neat. You know, I won't say that I haven't been to better zoos. The thing that is unique about it is how immersive it is to you when you're there. It's not like you're not looking at animals in cages for a lot of it. You're kind of looking at animals in fantastical settings, perhaps, but, you know, settings nonetheless.
So, I guess one of the big things with zoos, right, is that, like, they promote education, you know, because you because you learn about these animals, because you see these animals and you gain some sort of interest, you're more apt to, I don't know, donate to conservationist, you know, groups, organizations, or go on and get your zoology degree and go study animals or something, or I don't, you know, whatever it is. Did you get that? Do you see that? Or is it just kind of like, you know, what's Irma doing with it? She care?
Well, bear in mind, my child is only 5 and a half. So who know? Like, I don't think you're really going to know what kind of effect something like that has on her until way later. Yeah. But I mean, what I can say is she definitely enjoyed herself. Like, it was a fun experience, even when Daddy got bitchy and, you know, complaining at the end of it. She still seemed like she was having a good time.
Yeah. So, you know, it is, I think that's one of the really just the biggest thing, you know, was there underground animals?
I mean, there's a whole wall of naked mole rats, which was kind of fun.
Those are gross, dude.
I know they are, but
they're weird looking things.
I know. And the way that they did them is like they had like a pod, a wall full of pods. So essentially like you're doing like a cross section of their, their nest.
Yeah.
And you see all the little groups. And they were just all kind of in a pile with the exception of where they were eating. There was an interesting, like, because when you first get there, like you go and there's the Tree of Life, which is essentially they have a giant concrete baobab tree that they made, which they also turn into a giant freaking screen for movies at the like end of the night, which is amazing. Like, it's hard not to be impressed with Disney when you're there. I will not lie about that. You're watching some of the stuff that they've managed, and it's even more jarring because if you've ever driven in Florida, you're kind of like, I understand now why everything in Florida sucks. It's because all the good engineers work for Disney.
I'm looking at some of the stuff now online, and it's amazing what they do. And just think about it from a, you know, business perspective is,
and so wow. The first thing we did, like it was a Bug's Life kind of experience. And so you're walking underneath that giant tree, and like everywhere you look, they have giant, like hyper realistic bugs in the concrete and stuff like that. And then you actually get into it, and it's a movie experience. And so, you know, you've got your animatronic bug there, and they're kind of doing a little bit of the edutainment thing with this little interactive experience where like you have the 3D glasses and the bugs are doing things on screen and kind of, you know, so it's like half animatronic, half 3D screen thing. And like they did all kinds of fun things where you actually have like the whole thing ends where like, oh, the maggots are going to get out of here first. And so they like, you can feel things jittering under your butt on your seat. So, even as an adult, it kind of like you're there and it gives you a perspective that you don't see. Like for you and me, like I grew up in the country, like animals aren't odd things to me. Like I've been rutted at by deer while fucking my girlfriend out in the woods. Like, I'm used to animals. It's not weird, but there is this amazing, like an amazing and inspiring feeling that you get thinking about nature in this place, and it gives you an appreciation for how wondrous the whole thing can be. I guess like it adds a mystical element to it, and like, I think that's something that, you know, I think we've talked about the movie Fern Gully in the past before. If we haven't, we should do a total episode on Fern Gully because one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Yeah.
At some point, are we going to go episode by episode on Captain Planet?
We should. We could do like a season, you know, season one, season two. Be awful.
Or maybe do like once a month or something just to go dive into an episode of Captain Planet. That'd be ridiculous. Be
gross.
And I used to love that show so much as a kid. I always hated the fact that it was wind, water, air, earth, and heart. That part always pissed me off.
Why?
I didn't feel like it had anything to do with nature.
The heart?
Why did you need to have like a fifth thing and call it heart as opposed to just like, you know, you got your four elements. Don't add a fifth guy.
I don't know. I feel like there's a... I don't know. It's the heart of nature. It's the spirit. Nature has a spirit, right? So you can't just go cut it down because you're going to you're going to hurt the nature spirit.
I mean, if we start talking about like mycelium and the interconnectedness of forests, I mean, there's probably more to it than people give it credit for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, those giant networks of where like you poke the dirt and the forest feels it 3 miles away.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. This is really, it's such a strange thing to think about, you know, and to see them, because some are much better than others, and some are quite nice, and some are, you know, little holes in the wall. There's a monkey peeing all over the concrete while everybody watches, because that's like his only place to hang out, you know.
Well, and I will say, like, Disney's got money falling out of its ass, so there was nothing there that was like that. Like the one monkey cage, like you've got a tower like that's 50 feet in the air, and then three giant like cables from that to like a centralized tree fort basically. And so when we get there, the monkey's just kind of hanging out in this tower, like just whoop de doop de doo, 50 feet in the air. And the next thing you know, he's like, all of a sudden he starts kind of like, he's got his hands on the top vine and his feet on the bottom, and he's like jiggling out. And then he just stops in the middle of this, like the cables, like dead middle between the tower that he was at and like the place that he was going, and just kind of sits down and is like, you know, just hanging out in the middle of the vine. And you're just like, that's insane.
It is very impressive, you know, and I think it's one of those things where like it triggers kids, you know, it instills some sort of something in them to go look at it later in life, you know. I remember as a kid, there was a little park, it was Adirondack Animal Land, and I don't even know like what it was. It wasn't really a zoo. I guess it was a zoo, but it was super tiny, and you could take like a hayride kind of thing through this little spot, and they had like ostrich, some camels, and something else. But it was unique, and like you looked at it, and then you like, it made me think about other things. You know, it made me like look into other aspects of, you know, what's going on like in nature, what's going on with how we affect nature, how we impact nature in different places, you know? So I don't know. I don't mind zoos too much. You know, I guess it's not ideal, but let's face it, you know, not everybody can go on safari in Africa or wherever. Can't pay for that, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of it is that without that connection, without getting that upfront sort of in your face experience, it's difficult to really grasp the gravity of what these animals are like and see kind of how important and moving they can be. Because like I saw lots of animals growing up, nothing ever really kind of did to me what seeing a dolphin for the first time did, you know, or that first time you see a rhinoceros and you're looking at something that literally weighs 4 tons.
Yeah. Yeah. Being able to actually have that perspective, that firsthand experience is amazing.
So, I mean, I think that we should definitely keep our eyes perhaps on how some of these places are run.
Yeah, I remember that documentary, what was it, Blackwater, Blackfish?
Blackfish is a rough documentary to watch.
Free Willy there.
I mean, yeah. yeah, we actually were talking about that while we were down there, mentioned because we were talking about Shamu, and he's like, well, Shamu's not there. I'm like, I know, I've watched the documentary. and while I understand that, I don't think there's a whole lot necessarily to be gleaned educationally from the zoos. No. Like I don't think that they offer you much as far as like, well, we're watching the animals and we're observing and seeing how they react. I don't think that does you anything. However, if you're trying to inspire the next generation of biologists, then this is probably the best way to do that.
Yeah. For sure. I don't think it, you know, you're not going to go to the zoo and take notes and learn things. Like it's, you know, not what it's set up to do, I don't think. But it does. I think it spurs you on later in life, you know, for some kids to kind of take that and go forward with it in other ways, you know. one. It's going to be really interesting to see what the education landscape looks like when kids are older.
How old are your oldest again?
My oldest is 9.
Okay, my youngest still is pretty 3. Young.
Yeah, but I our kids are about the same age. I got 2 that are, you know, 1's 5 and 1's 6, and so it's but it is. It'll be interesting. Cross that bridge when we get there, I guess. I don't know.
That's all you can do, Frankie.
Oh man.
All right, boss. Well, we'll kind of call this today. I think it was an interesting discussion because I understand why people have problems with them, but it's difficult to not see the good that they can do in the overall. And I don't.
I do. I think it does. It does add good. It does. You know, and maybe not all zoos do, but at the same time, you know, when you learn about someplace like SeaWorld or I think it was SeaWorld, right? Like maybe you don't go there. You know, if you know that's a crappy zoo, you don't go there. And then, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if they're treating their animals like crap, please don't, by all means, don't spend money on that.
Well, and I think you see that when you go, you know, and then people are less likely to go to those zoos.
All right, boss. Well, this has been another fun one.
Indeed.
So we'll let you get going. And to everyone out there, go do the normal things. Stop by Free Market Screen Earth. You know, you should all be telling people. Don't keep this a secret because it is a lot of fun. And we need to get more people involved in this. Richard Watson, for all the things that I may have disagreed about him on this, we do need to be getting the word out to people. So go tell your friends. You can send them by the Liberty Hippie Network. It's a good place to send your normie friends, I think.
Yeah.
LibertyHippiePods.com, I believe it is.
Yeah, it's a good place to start, I think.
You know, we're hardcore ANCAPs, but I think we can at least talk peacenick enough to kind of keep people around.
Oh, boy.
All right, folks. You go have a good one and, you know, take care of nature. Buy some property.
Yeah. Yeah, it's another episode we got to do. All right.
How to buy land.
Yeah, for real. So, how to not pay taxes on your land.
Oh, do you know someone who's good at that?
Well, I mean, not, you know, you're still paying something, but.
You know who
paying less.
You know who I bet knows a bunch about that is Ox from.
Yep.
Smurf It Up podcast.
The knitting insurgency circle. Knitting circle.
Is
circle.
That, that's, yeah, I know he's friends with those guys.
Knitting insurgency. Yeah, he just, I think he's the guy that does some of that stuff. They have some good episodes on that.
But. Have you ever listened to the Smurf It Up podcast?
No, I have not.
It's kind of like a Gary Vaynerchuk inspired podcast that Ox actually puts on. So he talks a lot about like money and legal stuff. Like a lot of tax sheltering kind of things.
Stuff out there just scary, and you got to find somebody that knows what they're doing. Learn yourself and try to do it.
So, all right, folks, have a good one.
All right, peace.